Praise God. Praise God. Okay. So last week, you guys remember what I talked about last week? Summertime. You guys enjoying your summer? No? It's over. I dressed up for you guys, or dressed down, I guess you could say. Anybody remember that? I hope you don't, but in case you do, that was for you. Today I was kind of thinking about, you know, summer's almost over, and so what does that mean? Back to school. Anybody excited about that? There's a couple people out there. So I was kind of thinking, and I typed out some of my thoughts on back to school. And instead of trying to recite them to you, I'll just read them to you. You guys down with that? Yeah? Okay. So, back to school. You guys are excited, I can tell. You say back to school, and it's like the air just got sucked out of the building. Going back to school brings back all kinds of thoughts and memories to our mind. Some good, some probably not so good. Homework? Teachers? Friends? Peer pressure? And my personal favorite, getting up early. School is coming. There really isn't anything you can do to stop it. So what are you going to do? Last week, I showed you how to salvage your summer. You guys remember that? Gave you some tips. Anybody, what was your favorite tip? MySpace. Don't waste your life on MySpace. That was an M. Don't Mickey Mouse be the maid. Don't be a glutton. Yeah, that was a good one. I got kind of hammered afterwards because we went out to eat. I was just like eating chips like crazy. And they're like, you had to stop. So I did. No, I didn't. Well, I hope you took some of those things to heart, because even if you didn't, there isn't much you can do about it now. You've got a good 2 days. How many of you have started school? Yeah, a couple of you out there. How many of you start on Monday? Yeah. So you've got a good 2 days of summer left. Then the weekend. And then Monday. Monday. You guys say Monday or you say Monday? Monday. It's like, yeah, it's Monday. No? Tuesday? Saturday? 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 Monday. The first period bell is going to ring. And then it's game time. Summer's over. The school year has officially begun. No more sleeping in until 2 p.m. No more doing anything and everything whenever you want. Nope. You're going to be on a schedule. What a bummer. You know, I always liked the first day of school. There was a certain excitement in the air, right? Get to see friends you haven't seen for a while. You get new classes and new subjects, new clothes probably. Anybody do some back-to-school shopping, getting your fancy duds, a nice outfit to wear to the first day of school, tax-free weekend? Yeah, that's where it's at. There's always new people to meet. Everything is new first day of school. But by day two, school wasn't new anymore. No, it was old. And the reality would set in that this is going to be a long year of work, work, work. There are really only 2 days of school that I enjoyed. It would be the first day and the last day. Everything in between wasn't that great. Didn't really care for it. So with all that in mind, the new school year looming, I want to ask you one simple question tonight. And that is, who are you going to be? This school year, who is it that you're going to be? Monday morning, when you get off the bus or get out of the car and you start talking to your friends, start making some new ones, which you is going to show up? Is it going to be the you that met Jesus at Rock Conference this year? Is it going to be the you that's grown up in church and knows right from wrong? Or, quite possibly, is it going to be the other you, the old you, the you that always doesn't do the right thing? So that's what I'm asking you guys tonight, is who are you going to be? We're going to look at a guy named Peter. Anybody know who Peter was? His last name was Pan. Remember that guy? Captain Hook. He's a boy that never grew up. He had a girlfriend that was a fairy named Tinkerbell. I don't know how that worked, but actually, no, we're not talking about that Peter. Talking about a different Peter. There's a Peter in the Bible, and he was one of Jesus' closest friends. These guys were like peanut butter and jelly. They went together great like that. What else goes to good together? Socks and shoes. Peas and carrots. Liver and onions. Chips and salsa. Steak and eggs. Did somebody? Fish and chips. Bean and cheese. Huh? Ketchup and mustard. What's one of my favorite afternoon snacks? Actually, I was thinking because I like to pour mustard and ketchup into a sack and then just kind of scoop my hand in there. Do one of these things. I don't even put it in my mouth. I just stick my tongue out and go. Whew. Confessions of a youth pastor. That's what we're having tonight. That's one of them. Anything else? Bacon and eggs. Anything other than food? I think we've got food pretty much covered. Amanda and Aaron? Matthew and nobody? goes real good together. Matthew and water, yeah. Just add water, and then I'm wet. Or not thirsty, or drowned, depending on which way you look at it. Did somebody say cigarettes? Matthew and cigarettes? Cigarette and matches? Okay. How about like wood and fire? How about... What? I want to hear what this is. Is it appropriate? Okay, here's something that doesn't go good together. Drinking and driving. There's some food for thought. Teenagers and text messaging, hello? That's what I'm talking about. 25-year-olds and text messaging, okay. Anybody got anything else worthy of being spoken, uttered? How about Oreos and milk? Cookies and milk? Lucky Charms and milk? Okay, great. Awesome. What? Teenagers and Saturday nights. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, great. Okay. So, Peter. Peter went together with God. Great. One of Jesus' closest friends. Peter knew Jesus probably better than any of us ever will until we get to heaven. They were like this. You ever see anybody do that? They're like, we're like this. And then they kind of cross their arms or something. They're like, they were tight. Can anybody say tight here? Tight. No? Tight. Gazoon height. I don't know. Okay. They went everywhere together. Wherever Jesus was, there was Peter. They ate together. They fished together. That's not how they fished. They threw like nets. They sailed on the sea together. They traveled together. They probably slept in the same house, probably right next to each other, sleepovers, stuff like that. And in Bible times, the way things kind of happened, they probably even bathed together. I don't know how that messes with your doctrine, But I imagine that Peter and Jesus probably took a bath together. That's just the way they would do it, because water was scarce or hard to heat up, so they would heat up a big like tub of water, and then all the men would take a bath together. You don't believe me? Look it up. It's the way it happened. Some people still do it. It's the way we do it at the Bell House. I don't know about you guys. Dude, water's expensive. But we actually do it out in the swimming pool. Just, you know, whatever. That's a joke, folks. We don't really do that. This is the same Peter who walked on water. He sees Jesus out in the distance. They're in a boat. There's a storm. All the disciples, all 11 disciples, maybe not all of them, but there are a lot of them in there, and they all say, "It's a ghost, it's a ghost," in the distance. Peter says, "No, it's not a ghost, it's Jesus," and he just like jumps out of the boat onto the water, and he walks on the water with Jesus. That's the Peter I'm talking about. His name didn't used to be Peter. It used to be Simon. Used to be Abram, but God changed his name to Peter. No, his name used to be Simon. But when Jesus met Peter, he said, and Simon means like a follower or someone who listens. But when Jesus met Peter, he said, "Your name is no longer Simon. I'm changing your name to Peter." And who knows what Peter means? Rock. Someone who's solid. Someone who's steadfast. Someone who you can count on. But when Jesus changed Peter's name, he was anything but a rock. Peter was up one minute, flying high with Jesus, kind of like in Superman 1, where Superman picks up Lois Lane and takes her for the flight. Peter would be, you know, rocking and rolling with Jesus. Things are going great. Things are happening fantastic-wise. And then the next minute, he would do something really stupid, and he'd be way down. He wasn't a rock when God changed his name. But God saw something in Peter, and so he called him that. Here's an example of when Peter was really up and then he was really down. One day, the disciples are all hanging out with Jesus, sitting around. They didn't have Xbox, so they were probably like throwing rocks in the fire or something, and just, you know, seeing the sparks fly up from the wood. And the disciples are all, "Jesus, you know what other people are saying about you? They're saying that you're like Elijah come back from the grave. They're saying you're Jeremiah or another prophet." And Jesus is like, "Really? Well, who do you think that I am?" And Peter speaks up right away and he says, "You're Jesus. You're Jesus Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And this was the first time that anybody had said that about Jesus. Peter was the first one to have this revelation. But in the very next few verses, Jesus is telling the disciples about how he's going to be crucified and how because he is the Messiah, he's going to have to die for the sins of the world. And Peter speaks up again. This is like 2 minutes later. He speaks up and he says, "I'm not going to let them do that to you, Lord. They'll never do that to you. I'm going to stop them. I'm going to fight for you." And Jesus looks right at him and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. Because you don't understand, you're not thinking with your heavenly mind." So Peter's soaring high one minute, proclaiming Jesus as Lord, and the very next minute, Jesus is calling him Satan, saying, "Get behind me," because he was thinking with his earthly mind and not thinking heavenly thoughts and thinking of how things work in the kingdom of God. So that's Peter, up one minute, down the next. He wasn't a rock, he wasn't steady, he wasn't someone you could count on. He was always getting himself into trouble by opening up his mouth and saying things that he probably shouldn't. Anybody else have that problem in here? Or is that just me? Because I can identify with Peter. Because I have a tendency to say sort of some crazy things from time to time, and then I have to go back and apologize. Has anybody ever received an apology from me because of something I've said crazy? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, a couple of you. Okay, so let's fast forward a little bit. You guys ever push fast forward? Anybody have a TiVo? Any of you guys have a TiVo? I don't. I've always, you know what a TiVo is, right? You record TV, and then you can fast forward the commercials. It's kind of like a VCR. Anybody know what a VCR is? Yeah, you guys are with the times. You know what's up. VHS. It's going to catch on. It's going to be huge. These tapes, and you put them in. They're going to take over one day. Buy lots of VHS stock because it's going to soar. So let's fast forward a little bit. Push the fast forward button on our remotes. Jesus and the disciples are hanging out again. They're eating dinner. And Jesus is telling them what's going to happen in the next few days. He's telling them again about how he's going to have to be crucified for the sins of the world. Now he's going to be taken away by the religious leaders, and they're going to come and they're going to crucify him. And Peter speaks up again. And in Matthew 26 is where I'm reading this from. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth," Jesus answered Peter. "This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And then all the other disciples said the same thing. All right, let's fast forward a little bit more. Jesus has been captured by the religious leaders that very night. He's being put on trial. They find him guilty. They decide they're going to crucify him. This is in Matthew 26, verses 64. And I'm going to read quite a bit here, but just listen up. Jesus said this. He says to the religious leaders who were putting him on trial, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man," referring to himself, "sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds." Basically, Jesus is saying, "Yes, I am the Messiah. I am who you say I am." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witness? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy." And he says to the crowd, there's an angry mob there, "What do you think?" You guys want to be the crowd? Yeah. Okay, and the crowd answers and says, "He is deserving of death." So shout that out. And then they said, "Crucify him." This crowd screaming this. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. And then they said to him, "Prophesy to us, Christ, you who tell us which one struck you." And so Peter's outside, and he's hearing all of this. He's hearing this man that he spent his entire last 3 years with, following, eating, sleeping, fishing, spending his life with him. He's hearing this man who he thinks is the Son of God being put on trial. And here's this mob rising up, and they're beating him. And he's seeing all of this. And he's sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You were also with Jesus of Galilee." But Peter denied it before them all, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to him, and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." And so all these people are looking at him. Peter, they're staring at him. "You're the mob looking at me." That's kind of how I feel sometimes. Not really. But again, Peter denied it with an oath. He swore. He said, "I do not know the man." There's an exclamation point there. "I do not know the man. I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out, and he wept bitterly. Let's fast forward again. Jesus dies. He raises from the dead. He spends 50 or some odd days. How many? 40? 40, sorry. 40 days on earth doing miracles, whatever. He goes back to his Father in heaven. He says, "Wait for me. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." And I'm reading from Acts chapter 2. And Peter, he waits in this upper room, and the Lord fills him with his Holy Spirit. And all these 40 people who were there start speaking in tongues. And like a crowd comes to see these people who are all acting like drunk. And so Peter stands up. This is the same Peter who had denied Jesus. And he says to them, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man arrested by God to you by, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, that you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Then Peter says to the crowd again, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he preached and he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And those who gladly received this word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were saved. Same guy. So I ask you the question, what was the difference in Peter? What had changed from this man who denied Christ three times, who even cursed and swore to try and prove that he wasn't a follower of Jesus? What changed between then and now where he stands up in front of another group of people and preaches and 3,000 people are saved? What changed? The Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. It says in verse whatever, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's not rocket science. It's not complicated. The Holy Spirit gives us power to do things that we can't do on our own. When we repent and we come to the Lord and we're baptized, God puts his Spirit in us. You know, some of us might not speak in tongues or not, but it doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. When you're saved, God puts his Spirit in you to do these things. And so I'm going to ask you this again. Who are you going to be this year when you go back to school? You're going to have to make a choice. It's going to be presented to you. It might not be the first day. It might be the second day. It might not be the first week. It might be a few months. But you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to stand up for Jesus when I go back to school, or am I going to be someone who just kind of acts like I don't know him? Somebody told me this a while ago, and it really stuck with me. And they said, when people see you, they make a judgment of Jesus. Think about that. When someone sees you, and they see the way that you live your life, they make a judgment of God. Is your life representing who God really is? Cassandra talked to us about heirs and heiresses and how we're God's children. Right? You guys remember that? Anybody remember that? And how because we're God's children, he has all these blessings to give us. And I started thinking, you know, like I'm my dad's son. And I have many blessings because my dad is who my dad is. You know, I have, you know, a guy who can teach me how to play great piano parts if I want him to. You know, that's a blessing that I have because my dad is my dad. But if I went out and got tanked every weekend and swore like a sailor all the time, people would start to think things not only bad about me, but also about my father. And that's the way it works. And last, the Wednesday that Cassandra spoke that message, they emailed it to me, and I was able to listen to it while we were on vacation. And I started thinking of someone who else is an heir, but doesn't really represent their family probably the way that she should. And let's put her picture up. Does anybody know who this is? Britney Spears? You got it. This is Paris Hilton. She is the heir of Hilton Hotels, the heiress, you could say. But what does she do with all her money? She spends it on outfits and partying, and she lives this lifestyle. How does that reflect on her family? How do you think her parents feel about the Hilton name, the Hilton brand? You know, they have spent so much time and money making Hilton something that when you hear Hilton, you think a nice hotel, a place where I can go and, you know, get a nice night's rest. There'll be a mint on my pillow, whatever. But what is she doing to that name? Now when you think the name Hilton, you think of, you know, some girl who's out in a club partying it up, right? She has almost probably ruined what her forefathers and her parents have worked so hard for, the reputation of their Hilton name, their family name. Now, we're an heir of God, the Bible says. How are we representing the name of Jesus? Are we treating it like her, how she treats her family? Are we just kind of, it's not a big deal, I'm a Christian, God will forgive me for whatever I do, so I can just do whatever I want and he'll forgive me? Yeah, that's true, God will forgive you. But think of the damage you're doing to his name, to the name of Jesus. People know whether or not you're a Christian. These people, they knew Peter because he hung around Jesus. And if you spend any time, any amount of time with Jesus, people are going to know whether or not you're a Christian, just like they knew Peter was. And so when you go back to school, I'm going to ask you this again. Who are you going to be? Are you going to be somebody who drags Jesus' name through the dirt, who ruins this reputation that he's built and so many thousands of other people have given their lives for his name? Are you going to be someone who ruins that reputation, or are you going to be someone who carries that cross, who continues that legacy that Jesus is someone who will save you from your sins? Are you going to stand up for Jesus? That's really the only question that I have for you guys tonight. The Bible says that if we repent and are baptized, it says it right here in this verse, it will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to ask you guys to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you want that power, maybe you have a hard time saying no to things you shouldn't or standing up for Jesus. Maybe you don't have the strength to do that. Peter didn't. In Matthew 26, he had a really hard time. He denied Jesus 3 times and he cursed and he swore. This was somebody who was almost like Jesus' best friend, spent 3 years of his life with him. But you know what Peter didn't have? He didn't have the Holy Spirit. So if you want that power tonight, I'm going to pray 2 prayers. The first one's going to be for people who have never repented before. Maybe you've never even come to Jesus. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. The first prayer is going to be for you. My second prayer is going to be for you to receive that Holy Spirit. So I want everybody to pray this first prayer. And if it's the first time you're praying it, I want you to come and talk to me afterwards. I've got some stuff to give you. I've got something to tell you. So come talk to me if this is the first time you're praying it. Lord Jesus, I pray you would forgive me of all my sins. I'm a sinner. God, on my own, I'm nothing. Lord, I give you my life. I pray you forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. God, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Second prayer is for those who want that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in your life, who want that power to be able to say yes or no, stand for what's right, not fall for what's wrong. I want everybody to pray this too. It's not rocket science, guys. It's real easy. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Lord, I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you put that power within me, just like you did with Peter. God, I pray you would use me to win souls for you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. In this verse in Acts 2, it also talks about being baptized. And tonight, we're going to be doing baptisms tonight. And if you've never been baptized, we can baptize you tonight. Plain and simple. They're baptizing people from the adult service. And so if you've never been baptized tonight, I'm serious. If you've never been baptized and you want to be baptized, you come and talk to me. Because it says here, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want that power tonight, tonight is your night to be baptized, okay? So I hope you stick around. I hope that some of you come and talk to me. And you guys have a good week. Shine for Jesus at school. And we'll see you next Wednesday.
Uno, dos. Uno, dos, tres. Uno, dos. Uno, dos, tres.